Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Words That Work. Not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. We haven't been on for a while. Part of it, as I was doing a spiritual retreat, dealing with the grieving process, having lost my wife and some friends, my wife through sickness, and friends, I guess you might as well say old age and sickness that come with aging. I felt I had to get away to a quiet place and sit with self. First, I had to look at self and see what was going on with self before I began to start waiting and seeking what the Holy Spirit, what the Father through the Holy Spirit had to say to me regarding where I'm to go next, what I'm to do, and what I'm to be about in ministry, as well as a senior person who finds himself a widow. And that's one of the reasons why the program hasn't been on for a while. And so today, I'm back and we're going to talk about the fivefold ministry gifts and its role in the present, in our society today, and compare and contrast to what it is and how people see it and how people are using the fivefold ministry in their ministry. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, we come to you saying thank you. We give you thanks for the Messiah who brought your purpose into the world, which was to reconcile us back to you as a result of what took place in the garden when Adam and Eve chose to listen to the enemy as opposed to remember and recall what you told them regarding how they were to relate to the garden. Thank you and praise you. I ask that the words that will come through me will be glorified in you. And those listeners in Morocco, Yugoslavia, and Russia, especially those in Morocco now, those who are there, and you may not even have the ability to listen, but we just pray for you. We lift you up in prayer in terms of the earthquake. So, Almighty God, we lift them up to you now and let your spirit cover over the deep there and comfort them. In the name of the Messiah, amen, amen. Fivefold ministry and fivefold ministry gifts. I grew up in an organization whereby we did not recognize the fivefold ministry. We did not have apostles. We had bishops. We did not have, we had a conference evangelist, but that was not in relate to the local church. And one of the things that I found, I haven't retired, and I see the value of the fivefold ministry in building the body of Christ. But then some of us took exception to that in terms of building the body of Christ. We sort of felt that they were in the process of building their numbers and building their economic status. I was in the denomination as the second richest denomination in the world. And the focus was on the numbers, as far as I'm concerned, as opposed on equipping the people to grow the kingdom of God here on this earth. And the fivefold ministry gifts, I'm going to read it out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11-16. And it reads as thus, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why? This was Paul. He said, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And then Paul goes on. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in the deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, let's just go back and identify them, what we call the fivefold ministry. One is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, even if Paul was speaking this to the church in Ephesians, and if we think about it, and then let's just process it a moment. Why would a pastor benefit from the fivefold ministry? How? And now you got a bishop, and you got deacons, and whenever you, today we won't have time to go back and look at this, read all the scriptures, but when we look at the deacons, the purpose of them was to provide for the widows and in the early church. And then the bishop, his purpose was to help the pastor organize and structure the ministry. I'm sort of paraphrasing it, but that's what it was about. And we look at today, what do we see? We see them used altogether, in some cases altogether different from what the scripture says. Now, let's go to the fivefold ministry and the different roles. An apostle, what is the purpose of an apostle? What is that function? And that function is to train, equip those who have been called out from among the organization, the congregation, and those are the individuals that have those type of gifts that the Holy Spirit has led the pastor to recognize in the individuals. And they're there to help the pastor, not to overshadow the pastor. And now that's the core or foundation is the pastor, according to the word here that we're dealing with. You got the pastor. And so the apostle goes equipped and send pastors out to start new ministries. And that's why I started with the apostle. And you go back to John 17, where Jesus, he gave the 12 disciples, and later on, they were called apostles. he gave them that which Father gave him. And those disciples passed that down to us today. And it's just as relevant today, that message of what they passed down, as it was whenever Jesus, the Messiah, gave it to the disciples back then, over a thousand years ago. Now, so let's just start with pastors first. Pastor. What is the role of a pastor? Now, speaking from my experience as a pastor, my role was to care for the flock. Care for the flock. Now, how do you care for the flock? One, you must get to know your members. You must get to know who they are and be able to, so you can be able to give them the appropriate message that will sustain them, that will give them peace, that will help them to understand what it is that they are called by God to do. And lots of times that doesn't happen. We are too busy collecting money, too busy wanting to build this big building with our name on it. We have a misunderstanding of what it means to be a church builder. What does it mean to be a church? Church is the people, not the building. And so many of my colleagues have gotten it all confused and all mixed up, and they haven't separated it out, that the people, church. And the building, for me, when I was pastor, the building was just a place where we could come to, that when in the hot days we had air conditioning, we could stay cool in there as we worship, as we sang praises to our Father. Now, and the building was to keep us warm in the wintertime when it was cold out there and the wind is blowing. And it better help you able to be in the spirit of worship, be in the spirit to glorify the one that created you, as opposed to sitting up in a place where it's cold, and then you're focusing on what? Your focus is not on the word or the message. Your focus is on figuring out how to stay warm or to get warm. And the same principles apply to summertime. Whenever it's all hot, you in there, you press pine, and you got the little fan, and you fanning yourself. But that's why now we have the air conditioner to keep it as a temperature whereby you can focus on what the message is about, as opposed to trying to figure out how you cool down. And so you have that pastor, and the pastor is supposed to know his congregation, his or her congregation. He just has to know. So it's under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you know what message that he need to present. Because if you're just sitting up there just nilly-willy, as we call it, just pulling stuff off the top of your head, the people are sitting there going to sleep. And some people are there. Why? Because that was their mama's church or that was their grandmama's church. And that's why they continue to grow, to go. And now, whenever you have someone there that understands the congregation and is reaching out to them, so that's the part of the function or purpose of the teacher. The teacher's there to undergird and help the pastor. The pastor and teacher should be on one accord, and whenever a particular situation sprout up, to be able to sit with the teacher, and they should be able to find a message that would be a lesson that would comfort the people. And it's important also that if you are proclaiming a message and the congregation, they're headed in Sunday school about biblical studies where they study that scripture, your message will become more meaningful to them whenever you give it. And that's to me, is the role, and that's how my Christian education worker, how we work together. And they have sometimes, if she would deal with the fruits of the Spirit, I will preach on that as she go in Sunday school, and we try to have it and Bible study as well, where though it will be, the scripture will be familiar with to them, the one that we'll be using, and I found that to be helpful. At least for me, I found it to be real helpful in terms of my overall purpose to achieve my goal, which was to equip this and make disciples of the members. And now we go to evangelists. Now, lots of times here, this is where this becomes a little problematic occasionally. And I say problematic because what happens is you have these evangelists come through town, and they come in town, they have this message, they go through their changes, and they move on to the next town, and you have the people flocking to them, and there's no follow-through or follow-up. And where is the pastor? There's no coordination between that evangelist coming through town and the local pastors that are in that particular town, whereby they will be able to sit with the evangelist, and they will have a conversation. Maybe the pastors there want to focus on youth, and maybe that evangelist can't really focus on youth. Maybe that's not their focus, and maybe should discourage that evangelist coming through town, or make sure that their message is to the adults and challenge them to reach out and begin to care for the young people, the youth. So basically, the evangelist's role is to serve the pastor again, is to reach out, excuse me, is to reach out to the community and make referrals, and people show up, and people, they always have this save thing where the people at the end of the service, where they ask people if they want to give their life to Christ, and then they come down. But because you're only going to be there for a hot minute, you're going to be moving on. How or where are you going to refer these people to? What church? What body of Christ? What group can they become affiliated with, where they will begin to continue to get what they need in order to grow in their faith? And as we move on, we got that evangelist. And, well, I've seen evangelists wreck churches, especially these non-denominational churches. These evangelists come to town and somebody, oh, they preach so good, or they get them to stay. Somebody in the congregation has that gift. Next thing you know, that person already got a few members, and he or she gone starting their own ministry. Now, that's not what the purpose is. Their purpose, they didn't understand their purpose. Their purpose is to build the body of Christ under that pastor or several pastors. And then we have the pastor, teacher, evangelist. Now we go to the prophet. Some people argue that the prophetic word, a prophet, that there's no more prophets in what they call the New Testament, and that's what they are saying, and what that prophet's role is in relation to the local ministry and in relation to the local pastor of that particular ministry. It's just sit down, he or she, to sit down with that pastor. And he or she has the discernment, spirit of discernment, that she sit with the pastor and talk about what they see, what's coming down the pike, so that the pastor ministry can be built into the ministry of that particular pastor. Now, are several pastors, but again, I've seen these prophets. They come to town, they destroy the church or divide the church. Why? Because you have these people flocking to them. And I know twice, one of them was in a foreign country, a West African country. This pastor, it's all funny. This pastor, what he would do, he would give the people a questionnaire. And the person would fill out the questionnaire and give it back to the pastor, and then the pastor, they would set an appointment for you to come and visit with the pastor. Well, I sort of see that as suspect. I sort of look at what prophets did in the Old Testament, the Torah, and I sort of line up what's going on now. The prophets of old, they were not well liked by the people, but they weren't telling the people what the people wanted to hear. They were telling the people what thus said the Lord, the Father, who spoke directly to them, and they in turn spoke to the people. And, you know, the present-day prophet, everybody loves him. They all flocking to him. And that prophet, he was, he or she, we have female prophets as well. They come to town, they're not fearful of the people because they're telling the people what they want to hear. And one of the things I concluded that, especially a lot of young people in this congregation that I was a part of, they focus on getting married, having a child. Those were the two main things that came off the top of the prophet's head. And I never forget, that time I had been consecrated a bishop, and I sat with the pastor, one of the pastors. I explained to him that best be careful. You got these people coming into town, and they're telling these people they're going to get all this money or they're going to get married at such a time. I said, now, if that doesn't happen, then you might be faced with a lawsuit. And because that happened to some of the telephone evangelists and telephone prophets. And so... I wanted to share that with him so that he would be aware of it. And the apostles is the last one, and it's the last one, and it's the first one. And it's very interesting. And I could talk about myself on this one as well. I was affirmed as an apostle, I think 2019, not 2020. And it's amazing. I was at this pastor's appreciation luncheon, and the pastor, I mean, the preacher that was the messenger that day, she looked at me, and she said, "I've seen you." And I didn't see this person. I never seen this person. I asked my wife, and she didn't know who the woman was. Neither did I. But what happened, how all of this came to be, and I felt that there was possibly some truth in it. The lady I saw in that pulpit that day was light tan. That person is not a light tan. That person is more of a dark chocolate. And whenever I saw them away from there, I didn't really recognize who they were. Now, why am I saying that? In 1990, one of my fellow students in seminary in Illinois, she told me, she said, "You are an apostle." I looked at her like she probably lost her mind, because my thing was, there's no prophets or apostles in the denomination that I'm a part of. So that was in 1990, and here, this is in 2019, whenever this person spoke that prophetic word, or that I was a prophet. And the rest of it has become history. I didn't fight it. I wasn't looking for it. It came to me. And my thing to the Creator, to the Father, what am I supposed to do as an apostle? And I mean, we went through the Bible. We went through and looked at all the different biblical passages that related to an apostle and an apostle's duties. And I guess I was still sort of fighting against it, like I did on the bishop when they consecrated me as a bishop. That, again, that wasn't something I wanted to do. People saw something in me, and they wanted to elevate me. And my thing was, I was to develop various ministries as part of the fellowship that we were part of. And that's what I set out to do. And before it folded, we had one in Michigan, and then I had one in Maryland. And it was four different regions. And that was, I tried to get out of it, but I couldn't get out of it. They told me that I didn't need a robe, and I didn't need all that money, and I was putting robes there on the rack. And all I had to do was select one of them and use that as on the night that I was consecrated. It was four of us. I think it was four of us that they consecrated that night. And what I'm saying is, and I saw my role is support to the pastor. And I've been in situations, circumstances where the people tried to make me over the pastor. But I made it sure, clear in their mind from the pulpit area that this is my pastor just as he's your pastor. So that they were clear about, don't come up trying to get me to become their pastor and break away. So, because I understood my role was to help the pastor put in a structure. We helped them to build a Christian education ministry. We brought people in during the Black History Month. Because these were persons from foreign country, we brought people in that they could that could benefit from the association with them. And we went on retreats with them and all that. And unfortunately, lots of times nothing really happened. And I eventually left that ministry. And now the ministry that is happening for me is Global Coalition Training Institute. That was another one of the creators doing. I was working with a person that was going to develop a 501c3 out of Global Coalition of Churches. And our conversation as I was going over what it was, what the vision was, and they came up with Global Coalition Training Institute. And that became a 501c3 in less than 6 weeks. And out of that, it's still Global Coalition of Churches, and I don't see that those churches don't report to me. It's their ministry, and one that's, well, we have two. One is in Nigeria, and we're supporting the food ministry there because the Holy Spirit said that we are to support the ministries that are beyond the walls, not what's going on inside of that building. So that works. And there's one that began to work with him in Sierra Leone, and that's a personal ministry covenant with that pastor there in the name of my wife. That's a children ministry that's there, because 7 years ago, before we moved down to North Carolina, we were in Maryland, and there was an African couple and ourselves. We started working with children, because in Sierra Leone, they had to pay for their education. We had 15 young people. We were going to work with them from elementary through high school. And we had people who were willing to pay their education fees. But what happened was that a young man that was in, there was three persons in Sierra Leone, Freetown, that they formed a group and they were going to make sure the money got dispersed and all that. And we found out that one of the young men decided he wanted to take the idea and run with it. So as a result of that, we didn't follow through on that, because we had a bank account that was set up over there and everything. I'm not all that sure what happened to the funds that was in the bank account now. So that's what I started out as the bishop. That's what I started out doing there. So as the apostle, I'm being shown, one, that Global Coalition Training Institute is people of purpose. And before the pandemic, we used to meet every first Saturday of the month. And that's what gave birth to the Global Coalition of Churches. And that's one, the prayer ministry that was started by my wife back in Maryland. But then we brought it to the pastor, to the church we were part of. And then when we left there, we brought that with us to the Global Coalition ministry group. And that's take place on Wednesday night. So that's two things that I have spiritual responsibility for, that the Creator is holding me accountable for as an apostle. And there are people who are responsible for carrying out those functions. One for the Global Coalition of Churches, especially the outreach part of it. There's two persons that's connected with that. the prayer ministry. We have a person who is responsible for developing the prayer ministry and keeping the prayer ministry going, because that group is, according to the vision that I was given, that went through three different stages. First stage was that we were focused praying, first really we were praying the scripture, which gave us the permission or the authority to pray the way we were praying, and then the focus on a specific area, not just praying for everything that we could think of, but focus. That's what the Holy Spirit gave me, focus. We did that. And then it gave us, we pray solutions, because we were praying over and over the same prayer, asking for the same thing over and over and over. And that's one of the things that were happening in the church I was in. Every Sunday they prayed basically the same prayer. And now what does that say about faith? Now, if we are building up the body of Christ, we are building up prayer warriors. So that's one of the things that apostle I see is my choice, and that the Holy Spirit and the Father is working through me and doing. And then we have the Sports Academy. That came out of Global Coalition as well, out of Saturday meetings. And we now is called Universal Sports Academy Optimist Club. We're part of the International Optimist Association. And we have by the end of this season, we will have two teams. One will be young people who are under 15, and other one will be the people who are under 13. And that purpose is to work with them and help them to see that the Creator gave them that skill, the ability to play soccer, play lacrosse. And it's all about the Creator. It's not about me, not about the coaches. And that's one of the things that's in keeping with my new role as an apostle. The radio, what we are on now, that's going to undergo some changes as well, because we are to be giving people the gospel according to the Messiah that will give them hope, that in this time that we are in, give them something that they can hold on to. That's the scripture that I was given. I'm just paraphrasing it now. It had to do with when Jesus was talking to Peter. Asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah. He told him, love me, you feed my lambs. And then he asked Peter again. Peter said, yeah. And then he told him, you will tend my sheep. Okay, now first he said lambs. Now the lambs have their what? Become in the process of becoming a sheep. You're tending them. You're making sure you're nurturing them. And then the last time he asked him, he told him, then you feed my sheep. And that's what we're in the process of doing now. We've been around for 7 years. The Holy Spirit of the Father is holding me accountable for the vision that he gave me back in 1994, and that's what all of this came out of, a vision that was given back then that I would be held accountable for. So now we're going to have to begin to be a little bit more intentional about the words and about the content that we are giving out. And when we go to the, what was the last one? Oh, the center that got changed. The name was changed to the Center for the Journey of Faith. And that was the one where we would begin doing workshops. And what is the purpose of the workshop? To build disciples, disciple people, to train people what it means to be a disciple. And as a result of that, they would be sent out. I think that's all five of them. Those are five spokes of this wheel. And on the radio, we have listeners all over the earth, and we're no longer a local radio station. We are global, and we have to begin to think global and begin to organize our messages around that whole global congregation, if you want to call it that. So, that's the fivefold ministry, and that's why fivefold ministry is important. So far, we have an evangelist. We have two evangelists and two evangelists and two apostles. That's part of the team, and we're in the process of building that fivefold ministry team. And we will be able to work together to build the body of Christ. That's what the whole purpose is. And people come, people go. At one point, there was 21 people on the radio. We were on 3 hours every day of the week. And some of them had left. I thank God for them. They left. They are still in ministry. They are doing ministry in a way according to the vision that God has given them and not according to the vision that God gave me. And that's where it's supposed to be. That's where church should be. Nobody should sit in the pews forever. The ministry begins when the person walks outside of the doors. And that's why I see it as the ministry beyond the walls. We will begin to have discussions about that. And you who are listening, you can have input into it by emailing. You can email us, crowntalkingdrums, the number 12, @gmail.com or wllarmstrong3@gmail.com. We value your opinion, and this is about you, not about us. We've been at this for 7 years. It's time now to evaluate. And you, the listeners, are an integral part of it. But we have a little over 11,000 listeners now, all-time listeners, and we have listeners all over, and we would love to hear from you. I will open the mics and see if anybody have any experience dealing with the fivefold ministries in their ministry or in the congregation that they are part of, if they would like to make a comment. All right, the mics are now open for comments. Nobody has a fivefold ministry experience in the ministry that they are part of. All right. Well, I want to thank you for listening tonight. Those of you who listen by telephone, I want to thank you for calling in. And those of you who listen via computer, I likewise You are just as valued as people who call in by telephone. We would love to hear from you as well. Like I said, you can always email us your comments, your suggestions, and we will look and see also how we can receive chats. I know there's a way that I can do it. I saw the menu that I could hit. So before the end of this year, we will be on the road to the new beginning, the beginning, the eighth year, the beginning of the new program format, if you want to call that, the new ministry format would be, that's what it would be. I want to thank you all for tuning in, and shalom, shalom.